Good morning, everybody. I'm just going to start with the title of this message. It's called Wedding Preparations, and this is what I had sort of been planning on giving in January, but then obviously we had those horrible fires in Los Angeles, and I really felt led to speak on a different topic. But I'm picking this one up again, probably not badly timed with February and Valentine's Day and things like that. I'm going to start with a reading from Ephesians, which I'm not actually going to refer to in the course of the message, but I think it sets a context which I'm hoping will make sense as I go along. So I'd like to read from chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, last January, I had no idea that by the end of 2024, I would be a grandmother. It was a complete surprise. But this January, I've started 2025 knowing that my son James and his long-term partner Megan will be celebrating their marriage on the 22nd of December. It's been a long wait. Their commitment to one another has already stood the test of about 14 years, although that journey has certainly had its ups and downs. The wedding was originally booked for December 2023. My son, the bridegroom, felt unready and conflicted. The wedding was cancelled, and after several torturous months of deliberation, was deferred for 2 years and rebooked for 2025. It was a painful time for everyone concerned. So this year, as I've started this year, I am reflecting on wedding preparations. Now, fortunately, there's not much that I'm going to need to do for James and Megan's wedding, other than turn up on the day. But I can see that Megan has already started actively tackling her wedding to-do list. Now, 40 years ago, next June, June 2026, I came to England to marry my husband, Jim. I arrived at Heathrow on the 19th of June and was married on the 21st. I did not need to do much for my own wedding either. I basically just turned up on the day and had my mother-in-law, Jim's mother, to thank for sorting out all of the actual preparations, which included buying my dress from a Laura Ashley shop at Marble Arch, which was waiting for me when I arrived. What I did need to do, however, was make a very serious commitment and trust Jim to be the person I believed him to be, a person I had grown to know through letters written over a 6-year period, rather than through spending time in each other's company. I'm sure that many people at the time thought I was crazy, and perhaps I was. Now, I've been reflecting a lot on what I was thinking and feeling and doing in the months leading up to leaving the US for good and coming to England to marry a person that I had only seen on three occasions before marrying him. My earthly experience of a wedding is in no way a perfect analogy of the wedding that awaits us as Christians when we, as the bride of Christ, will be eternally united with our Lord and Savior in a celebration referred to in Scripture as the marriage supper of the Lamb. However, I think there are a few takeaways that might encourage us and focus our attention as we look forward in anticipation to that exciting day. The questions that preoccupied my thoughts in the months between our engagement in April of 1986 and our marriage in June were as follows. What will I wear and how will I look? Where will the wedding take place? Who will be there? Where will we live after the wedding? And how will I pack up my 24 years of life in America and ship it to England? What will stay and what will I take with me? In recent chats with Megan, I know that she's already thinking about the wedding dress that she was intending to wear in 2023. The project was suspended when the wedding was cancelled, but my understanding is that she has a new fitting booked for June, and the dress this time will be completed. But she's had a baby, and now she's hoping that she can get back into shape so that the dress will fit her as well as it did in 2023. Now, I was a lot heavier than I am now in 1986 when I got married. And I knew that I was not going to be having a fancy wedding. So I chose a white Laura Ashley dress that I'd seen in a shop in Palo Alto in California. And I explained it to Jim, and I was just thinking back there. You know, now you just take a picture of it and send a text message, wouldn't you? Well, in 1986, you couldn't take a picture and send a text message. So I described it to him, and I told him it was in this Laura Ashley shop. And then his mother went to London to the Marble Arch Laura Ashley, and she found the dress. And I had to sort of guess as to what size I would be in UK compared to US. And so we did that, and she got it. Unfortunately, it worked out perfectly. It fit me just fine when I put it on. But how I would look on the day was actually important to me. I knew I was, you know, I'll probably cry. You know, I was not going to be the beautiful bride that many young girls dream of being. But I was still conscious of how I would appear before Jim's family and so many people I'd never met. I also wanted Jim to be proud of the person that he'd chosen to marry. As Christians, we too should be mindful of how we will appear at the celebration that will mark the union of the church and Christ for eternity. Let's just look at what John says about this in Revelation 19, verses 6 to 8. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. It's stated here that the fine linen of our wedding attire is our righteous acts. Now we know that our own righteousness that comes through our own self-effort at following the law is not what's meant here. Paul makes it very clear in Philippians 3 that our righteousness comes through faith in Christ. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Our salvation that we accept in faith changes us. It makes us new through our faith in what Christ has done on our behalf, which we've just celebrated this morning. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Are we consciously choosing on a daily basis to trust in Him so that we are fit for our wedding dress? Or are we being slack and letting ourselves get out of shape, perhaps running the risk of the dress not fitting come the day we need to wear it? Are we motivated by a desire to be attractive and pleasing to our bridegroom when we stand face to face with him at the wedding celebration? We should really have the same sense of purpose and determination to appear beautiful before our Lord, in the same way a bride looks after her diet and fitness in the months leading up to her wedding in order to look good in her wedding dress. Because I was getting married in a new country that I had visited twice before, I had no idea about wedding venues. Now, James and Megan have spent a great deal of time searching for that perfect place where they wanted their wedding to take place. Back in 2023, they'd put a big deposit down, and fortunately, the venue, once they changed their plans, was prepared to reschedule and to book it for 2 years following, you know, the original date. My wedding was very, very simple. I was married in a registry office in Southend-on-Sea, not a lush venue such as the one that my son and his partner have booked for their wedding. And my mother-in-law, she booked us a small venue in Lee-on-Sea for the reception that followed after the registry office wedding. Unlike James and Megan, I had no particular expectations and felt pleased with how everything worked on the day. What do we have to look forward to in terms of the venue for the wedding we are awaiting? It is truly beyond our comprehension. Our venue will be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. This old world will be gone, and we will be where righteousness dwells, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And we see where John describes it more specifically in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, I'm very impressed with Stubton Hall, the venue for my son's wedding in December, but it is nothing compared to what our venue will be like in terms of opulence. In Revelation 21, verse 21, we're reminded the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Do you feel a sense of anticipation about the amazing place that we're going to? Do you dream about it in your daily life the way a bride imagines her wedding in the months leading up to it? We have so much to look forward to, more than our limited imaginations can possibly grasp. Now, the next thing I was thinking about as I was contemplating the wedding that I would be flying to England for were the guests. My mother-in-law chose and sent out the wedding invitations to family members that I had not even met. She also sent invitations to my immediate family, my parents and three brothers, who did come to England for my wedding. Sometimes the language of Scripture makes it a bit unclear as to our role in this wedding. Wedding guests are referred to, and it might be easy to think of ourselves as the guests at the wedding, but that's not how it will be. The church is clearly the bride. And from what I can understand from Scripture and from my own investigations into this, the guests will be Old Testament believers who lived before Christ's life, death, and resurrection here on this earth. John tells us that these people are also blessed. They're important members of the wedding celebration. Revelation 19:9 says, "Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God.'" Do you allow yourself to think about the fact that you will be able to mingle with Abraham and Sarah, with Isaac and Rebekah, with Jacob and Rachel and Joseph and Noah and Moses and Joshua, and the list goes on and on? Think of all the spiritual relatives we have whom we've never met. They will all be there. And we will all be able to speak to them and hear their stories. It's mind-bogglingly exciting. Now, because I was leaving my home in the States to move to England, I did wonder how Jim and I would manage to find a place to live. As it turns out, we lived with his parents for 6 months. I found a job for the September, and once I could qualify for a mortgage, we bought our first flat in Southend. We are also going to live in our Father's house. In John's Gospel, he records Christ's words prior to his resurrection in John 14, verses 2 and 3. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Christ is there now, preparing a place for us to be with him for eternity. And it sounds significantly better than a one-bedroom flat in Southend-on-Sea. In God's house, there are many mansions, and we get one. As believers, we will find ourselves on the top of the property ladder for the whole of eternity. Which brings me to my final pre-wedding question. What do I take with me? Now, I touched on this the last time I spoke when we were reflecting on the tragic fires in Los Angeles. It is so important that we understand that earthly treasures are vulnerable, and in the final analysis, are unnecessary. Matthew 6, verses 19 to 20, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." We will be traveling light to our wedding. Our treasures will have been sent on ahead for safe storage in heaven. We gather treasures every time we do His will, which is at its core loving Him and loving others. Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Do we think daily about how we can be obedient to Him in love, meeting the needs of those around us and prioritizing our communication with Him? Matthew 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, it's probably a topic for a subsequent message, but unfaithfulness destroys relationships. As the bride of Christ, we should not want to be unfaithful to him. I appreciate that Paul was writing to Timothy, giving him guidance about how to manage church leadership, but these words about the role of a wife of a church leader are instructive for us as we consider our relationship to our Lord. 1 Timothy 3 verse 11 says, "Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things." Do we live out our daily lives showing reverence to our Lord? Are we living in a way that's pleasing to him and gives a good testimony to those who observe us? And most importantly, are we faithful to him? Is he our greatest love? As we now move into the second month of 2025, do we, as the bride of Christ, have our eyes set on the wedding before us? Are we excited to be with our Lord and Savior for eternity? Are we preparing for that day and seeing each day as an opportunity to both look ahead in anticipation to the event as well as do what is needful today to ensure that we are ready? Dear Heavenly Father, we so easily lose sight of this amazing event that lies on the horizon. We don't know the hour or the day, but we know that it is going to happen. Please help each one of us to live our daily lives preparing for this wedding, doing the things that you would have us do so that we are beautiful in your sight, so that we are excited about where we're going and who we're going to see when we get there and where we're going to live when we get there. It's too easy to be distracted by lesser things around us and skew our view of this amazing, eternal celebration and life with you. We thank you in your precious and holy name. Amen.